Thank you and good afternoon. Someone has said the best inheritance parents can leave a child is a good name. We're happy to have the privilege today of coming your way with Bible Meditations. Bible Meditations is a Bible program in which we talk about the Word of God and we try to learn what the Lord would have us to do in obedience to His will. We do appreciate greatly your listening, and we're hopeful that the program will be of help. We've been looking at reaction that people have had toward Jesus. We have a number of people in the world today who are making a profession concerning their love for the Lord, and yet sometimes when we look at what they do, it seems to say to us, suggest, that maybe that's not a genuine love. I'm not trying to judge a person's motives, but I want to point out what the Bible teaches if we really love that we would be doing. Well, I believe that as we study and we look at the reactions of people, we can see indeed different reactions being demonstrated even in our present world. We looked at the reaction of a man named Nicodemus in John 3. We also noted the reaction of the disciples when Jesus said, "Whom say men that I am?" And the apostle Peter replied, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." We also looked at the reaction of some of the enemies, perplexed by the fact that Jesus was able to cast out devils. They needed some way to explain this away, and so they said he's doing it by the power of Beelzebub. Luke the 11th chapter tells us that Jesus told them a kingdom divided against itself cannot stand. Then further, we looked at the reaction of some to the Sermon on the Mount. And as we were looking at the beginning of that sermon, that's recorded in Matthew 5, 6, and 7, you have the Lord, the greatest teacher that the world has ever known, preaching the greatest principles that have ever been announced to mankind. We made the observation yesterday that Jesus did not hesitate in saying, "The old law said, the Old Testament said, but I say unto you." In other words, he was not blaspheming when he said, "I have a better law and better rules that you need to think about and consider." Well, certainly there are some who think Jesus was just continuing things that were said under the Old Testament law. However, if you read carefully Matthew 5, 6, and 7, you cannot help but be impressed with the contrast that he makes in the Old Testament law and the law of Christ. He would say the law says, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth, but I say unto you, here's a better law. And the law says, thou shalt not commit adultery, but I say unto you, and then he gave a better law. The law said, thou shalt not kill, but I say unto you, and so Jesus had authority to say something that was even greater than that which had been said by Moses and the law before. Well, certainly, the people are going to react to that. What reaction are they going to have? Are they going to just wholesale say this man's out of his head? He's trying to tell us that we're under a different covenant, a different law, and that he has better views than the laws that have been held before, and what kind of a man would do that? Well, we were looking at some of the things that he dealt with. Do you remember in the Sermon on the Mount he dealt with the Beatitudes? Blessed are the pure in heart. Blessed are the merciful. And you go down through that list of things that are mentioned to bring blessings to mankind. Then we looked at his dealing with influence. And he made clear that our influence is as salt or as light. You're the light of the world. You're the salt. And the salt has influence and effect on other people. He then began in verse 17 and 18 to show that the law was different from the new law that he was advancing. This new law, the law of Christ, was different from the law they had formerly had, and the things we just mentioned a moment ago are the things that he contrasted. Thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not commit adultery, and so forth. But in other words, he's saying, here is a higher way of living. Go then into the end of the chapter, this is chapter 5, and listen as the Lord tells us, here's a different way to deal with problems that come your way with your fellow man. Jesus said, do good to those who do evil to you. Now that's pretty hard to do. There isn't any question about it. But we are better off, we feel better about ourselves, and we feel better toward other people if we're able to practice what Jesus said. Jesus said, instead of doing evil for evil and saluting your brethren only, do good for evil and salute others as well. Treat everybody in a right manner. And so that's the thing that he said in the end of chapter 5. In chapter 6, he deals with motives in regard to conduct. Sometimes people do things, but they do it with the wrong motive. Isn't that what Paul was talking about in 1 Corinthians 13? He says, though I offer my body to be burned and have not love, I'm nothing. If I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, and yet I don't have love, he said, I'm becoming a sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal. In other words, there's no real value because the motive is wrong. All right? Go back at what Jesus was talking about. When you pray, how do you pray? Well, Jesus said there's some Pharisees who sound the trumpet. And they want everybody to know, look at me, I'm praying. Well, Jesus reacted against that. Jesus told the Pharisee, what you need to do is to go into your own home, go to your closet, shut the door, and there in secret, pray to your Father in heaven. I don't believe that he was making closet prayer the general reaction. I think what he was saying is, instead of being boisterous and forcing others to look at you, just simply secretly talk to your Father in heaven. But he said, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. That's the way it ought to be. It ought not to be a parading of your prayer before another person, but rather the genuine prayer that we offer to our Father, and we offer that in secret. Well, he goes ahead to say, the alms that you give, that which you do for other people, you don't try to get others to look at you and say, oh, what a great person he is, because he's helping other people. It's certainly a fine thing to help others, no question about that. And all of us understand and appreciate the value of Christian teaching in regard to helping other people. But Jesus said, keep your motives right. Your motive must be to help a person, not for self-praise. There are some people who want everybody to know what they do because of the praise they get from doing good deeds. Jesus tells them that that ought not to be the reaction. You should not be working in that way, but rather, on the other hand, do in private for other people, and your Father who sees in private will reward you openly. The point being that God sees, and that's enough. We don't need the praise of men. Wouldn't it be a great world if people did what they do from time to time because they want to help other people without the thought being in their mind that they want somebody to see them and to praise them for what they have done? Jesus just simply said, if that's why you're praying, and that's why you're giving alms to the people, You've already had your reward. You won't receive a reward from the Father in heaven. And so clearly, our motives are dealt with in the Great Sermon on the Mount. Well, we'll talk about the rest of it in our study tomorrow. I do hope you'll be listening, and remember that it was Jesus who said, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." We now return you to our announcer.